We started to talk last week about Mashiv HaRuach, and obviously the next discussion that one should have is about B'Sein Talamata LeBracha. And it connects to the Parsha because there was a lot of rain in this week's Parsha, but I think really, without that, it has a very important connection to the Shir that we started last week about Mashiv HaRuach. So as we mentioned last week, there are two different insertions that we make into the Shemona Esrei that discuss rain. One is Mashiv HaRuach Amorad HaGeshem, and the second is when we talk about B'Sein Talamata LeBracha. There are a number of differences between those two. Mashiv HaRuach, we begin right at the end of Sukkos. And B'Sein Talamata, the Gemara says, we don't start till 2 weeks after Sukkos. What is that all about? The Gemara says, because if it's going to start raining, we don't want everyone to have a problem getting home from Aliyah L'Regel. And therefore, the Gemara says, we wait 2 weeks, which is the maximum amount of time for anyone who came to be Ola Regel in Eretz Yisrael to get back home safely and not have a problem being stuck in the muddy roads with the rain. So that is with regard to that discrepancy between Mashiv HaRuach and the Saint Talamater. We did mention that there is a problem because the Gemara says that in the first three brachas of the Shemona Esrei, you're not really supposed to make any bakasha. So why do we add in Mashiv HaRuach? And the answer to that is Mashiv HaRuach is not a bakasha. Mashiv HaRuach is simply demonstrating or stating what the perception that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at this time. Right now we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who is the Mashiv HaRuach Umarid HaGeshem, along with a number of other things that we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be. But Mashiv HaRuach in the beginning of davening is only for that purpose. V'Sein Talamater is something that we add as a bakasha, as something that we ask for, something that we request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He should give us rain, and that's why we add it into the second segment of Shemona Esrei, in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. That is the appropriate place to say it. So now let us continue. We know that in Eretz Yisrael, they start saying the same Talamata the bracha on Zayin Cheshvan, which is 2 weeks after Sukkos has concluded, as we just mentioned. But in Chutz La'aretz, we do not do that. We wait an extended period of time. Now, first of all, there is a major problem because what happens if you have the situation that many people are faced with where they go to Eretz Yisrael after Zayin Cheshvan? Right, let's say I am going to be going to Eretz Yisrael in the first week in December. So they already started to say, oh, that's not a good example, because then we're going to start saying it there also. But let's say I go in the middle of November. So in Eretz Yisrael, they already started to say B'Sein Talamater. Now I'm in a country where everybody's saying it. Am I going to be the only one who's not? So what should I do? And then what should I do when I come back here? Let's say, for example, that I should be the same as everyone in Eretz Yisrael, so I start saying Mashiv HaRuach when I'm there, but then when I come back, do I flip back to the way the Americans are davening? So that is a major, major shaila, a very important issue. If you have that question, you should ask a shaila about what to do. And it highlights the fact that we have this discrepancy between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz of when we start to say Mashiv HaRuach. So what is this all about? Why is it that in Eretz Yisrael we start right away, whereas in Chutz La'aretz, we wait until much later? So we look at a Gemara in Maseches Tainus Dav Yud Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us as follows. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Mamtina milishol gishamim ad shiyachzeru ka'olei regalim l'mkomam kedei shelo yered ha'geshem kodem shiyachzeru l'beisam. So we wait, as we mentioned, 2 weeks to start saying Mashiv HaRuach in Eretz Yisrael. But then the Gemara comments on that. Amar b'lozhar halacha k'rabbi Gamliel, it's true that we wait in Eretz Yisrael 2 weeks until we start saying the same Talamatar. However, Hananya Omer Uvagola, for those Jews who live outside of Eretz Yisrael, Ad Shishim Mitkufa, they wait until 60 days in the season, which turns out to be, when do we start saying Mashiv HaRuach? Anybody know? I'm sorry, when do we start saying the same Talamatar? December 4th or 5th, which is actually my son's birthday. And he wonders why in every sitter his birthday is listed in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. So that is when we start to say Mashiv HaRuach. Now something that's very, that's when we start to say B'Sein Tal U'Matar LeBracha. Something that is very, very interesting about this is Rav Moshe Feinstein was actually asked a question about this calculation of how we got to the understanding of December 4th or 5th. It really doesn't correspond mathematically to anything. I don't understand the whole setup and system of how we calculate the days and the tkufas and everything, but for people who do, I trust them that this really doesn't correspond to anything at all. And somebody posed the question to Rav Moshe very innocently, wondering, why do we start December 4th, 5th, if really that doesn't seem to correspond to any kind of reality. Why would we pick arbitrary dates, December 4th or 5th, that really don't have any connection to anything? So actually, when I was with Rav Amar yesterday, I mentioned to him about Rav Moshe's tshuva, and he said, start December 4th, 5th, it goes by the solar calendar? He's like, I don't even understand how that works. So I said, that's actually exactly what Rav Moshe is discussing in this tshuva. So I have to apologize, because apparently I once gave a shiur about this, and not apparently, I did once give a shiur about this, and apparently somebody felt that I spoke extremely disrespectfully about Rav Moshe Feinstein when I quoted his tshuva. That was obviously not my intention, and I don't know anyone who couldn't have anything but the utmost respect for Rav Moshe Feinstein, for everything that he was and continues to be, for our generation and for future. But here, all I was pointing out in the shiur, and obviously it didn't come off properly, but all I was trying to point out in the shiur that I was giving was, I was making a contrast in order to bring out a point of how unusual this tshuva is. And that's all I was trying to do, and that's all I'm going to try to do now again. I hope I'll say it in a way that does not bring any discomfort to anybody who listens and has hard feelings to it. I don't think it should. But Rav Moshe Feinstein was such an anav. He was such a soft, humble person. And you see in his tshuvas, when he responds to people's questions, he refers to them with such accolades, and he calls them Rav this and Rav that, and he like singles them out as if like I didn't live at the time. This was before I was born. But you would think like the people he's responding to are like the greatest Gaonim in the world. And meanwhile, it's like simple people. But he refers to them with so much dignity and so much respect, and he takes every question seriously, even though some of the questions seem like why do you give so much time to that? It's not so important, or maybe the question's not like so serious. But Rav Moshe takes everything seriously, and he wrote a whole tshuva to respond to everything. Comes to this, and you have someone who poses a question to Rav Moshe. Actually, the first unusual thing about the tshuva is that he doesn't write his name in the response. He just says, I'm writing this L'Rav Echad, and you'll see in a minute why he doesn't write his name. Because Rav Moshe basically is not very happy with this person who wrote him the question. So he doesn't want to embarrass him by saying his name. So he published the tshuva without writing who the tshuva was actually intended to be written for. And Rav Moshe, very uncharacteristically, is extremely uncomfortable with this person's suggestion. So this person presents a very basic and obvious question. His question is, why do we start saying V'sein Talamatar on December 4th or 5th? I live in America. I understand all the seasons. I understand how the calendar works. And I cannot for the life of me understand why we would start saying V'sein Talamatar on these seemingly arbitrary dates, which sounds like a very reasonable question to be asking the Gadol HaDor. It's not so crazy. But Rav Moshe found it to be a big affront to what the entire Jewish community in America is doing. So let's see what he says. Be'inyan she'elis talamater mishishim yom achar tkuf ha-shmuel. Be'ezvas Hashem Yisbarach Yud Gimel Tishrei Tafshin Mem Aleph L'Rav Echad. He's just writing to Rav Echad, but he doesn't say who it is. Hine aktim tchila klal gadol asher korei ledavar shenoagin kol Yisrael b'dvar talamater b'chutz la'ar shuhum yom shishim l'tkufa l'vicheshman shal shmuel v'lo l'vicheshman shal ravadu shu shigaga. You wrote me a letter, Rav Moshe says, that you think that this is a mistake, that we start counting, that we start saying Talamater on December 4th or 5th. V'nimtza shekesa rosha. And it seems, based on your question, that you're challenging the December 4th or 5th, choshev, it seems that you think, shehu gadol yoser mikol rabbeseinu harishon v'achronim. It seems that you believe that you have a greater understanding than all the rishonim and achronim who came before you. It seems that you believe that everybody else had it wrong, everybody else is making a mistake, and you're the only one who figured out how to do the proper configuration of all of the mazelos, how to know exactly when the seasons start and end, and therefore you're saying we should change the date of when we start saying the same Talamater. He says, I ask you forgiveness in advance. Shehu Yehirusa Yiserta. That is extremely arrogant of you. Aflakshov Kane. Even to think of such a thing is arrogant. But Kalshukane Shalomar Velichtov Kane. You want to look in your sitter and you wonder when you come across that date, you're wondering, oh, that's strange. Okay, that's one thing. But then you're not embarrassed to send me a letter, Rav Moshe says, to ask me the question? It's shameful, he says. Viyada Kesarosho Kikomashe Hazinon Shaosin Rakahal Gadabi Yisrael. He says, if you have a big community that are all doing something, ain't a dove or toast, it can't be a mistake. Now, that does not mean that if you have a community that are not being Shomer Shabbos Karoi, that therefore it means you don't have to observe Shabbos. That's not what Rav Moshe means. What he means is, if you have a community that is doing something that is seemingly based on some kind of halachic understanding, it's printed in every siddur that this is when we do it. Do you think the entire America that has printed siddurim over the last 75 years is making a mistake? That's what Moshe says. Me'achar shehu kahal mishomrei Torah mitzvos, these are not people that don't know any better. Tzarech limtzo tam l'mashanogim kein. What Moshe says is, we do have to make sense out of why it is that we do this. But for you to claim and cast aspersions on what it is that we do, afim shar kihilos ein anogim kein ma'al v'kiven shehu kahal achad ein lino kamosa mitzina v'yesh la'ayim b'chol davar v'davar. Avodavar shenagu kol Yisrael, when you have something that the entire Jewish community does here in America, mechurachem lasos kemosam, you have to do exactly like them. Afmi shechoshev shutos, even if you believe that it's a mistake, tzaruchu leidash haklal Yisrael osin kedin, you have to know that there's no way the Jewish community as a whole will do something wrong. Av sheyesh lo kushya alayu ve'en yodea letaritz eno klum. And even if you have a question and it doesn't make sense to you and the math really doesn't add up, still says Rav Moshe, you have to do like everybody else. Then Rav Moshe writes a second letter to this person, and he is doubling down again against this letter that he received from this man, and he writes back to him again in Igros Moshe Chelakei Benimtza Shabalobis Kavin Hebirai Ledvari Vesulo Midi De'en Lahar Acherze Afbeder Kushia Kiyafenogim. Rav Moshe writes over here, it is what it is, and don't challenge it, and we're not going to change this, and that's the end of the story. Now again, what my father says over this Rav Moshe, he mentions that he thinks this person actually had a very good question. And Rav Moshe didn't really answer it so clearly, but anyway, it is what it is. I just thought that was just an interesting piece of history to be aware of. Yes, you had a question?
Yeah. Did the person who asked it, do we have his Shiloh? Did he ask it in a disrespectful manner in the way that, implying that maybe they were making a mistake?
So it could be. It could be. But even if somebody would send such a Shiloh, like, so Rav Moshe is saying that you can't present it that way. Again, I didn't see the original question. It could be it was so obvious from the way he wrote it that it was, meaning it could be it was so obvious from the way the question was presented that it was just inappropriate. Maybe, I don't know. But my point is, it's just fascinating to see how Rav Moshe responds here. Yeah, you had a question?
I think that's just a question because you have not misunderstanding. Maybe also because I'm just still a student in school, but I feel like even in one of the class, like I ask questions, like from a lot of people, we understand it.
Right.
Is it almost like it seems as though, it's like, I don't want to misinterpret Rav Moshe, but it seems as though he's rebuking him for asking the question.
He is, and that's what I'm saying. It's very surprising. Yeah,
to
try to have a better understanding. So that's where Moshe qualifies. He says, if you're asking because you want to have a better understanding, that of course we need to challenge, we need to ask. But it seems, again, it could be, it's based on, like you said, it could be it's based on the way the question was phrased. I don't know. But I always find this very, very fascinating to look at this and see the contrast between this and the way that Moshe took every other question in the world so seriously and responded with such a formulated answer. And here he just doesn't do that. He does something very different than the average for the Igros Moshe. Yeah.
Does he say this? He makes this tshuva of having this date, December 4th and 5th, just because he thinks that's when the winter begins.
Oh, he didn't start that. That was
right. But he's, why was it asked? Like, he's not the only rug that like that says that agrees with it. Like
everyone does. Right. Right. So we all
like,
do it.
Right. So like, why was Rav Moshe so taken to heart by this shiloh?
That's what I'm pointing out. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why this was more offensive than anything else that people presented to him in the past. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, question.
What's the Roshi table? Kaf Tzav Reishai that came up a few times.
Ketzer Rosha. Oh, that's like a respectful way to refer to some. Ketzer Rosha means the crown on your head, like you're one. So Rav Moshe is being respectful and he's saying, I love you and you're wonderful and it's great, but I disagree with you. So that's what he says. Okay, so now let's go a little bit further. The Ritva, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, has a very interesting comment, and he says, this that the Gemara says, we wait until 60 days after the Tkufa, 60 days after the season begins to start asking for the rain, that is Liyoshvei Bavel, says the Ritva, that's relevant to those communities that lived in Bavel. That's when the rain was necessary for their climate, for their produce, for their fields. Acharatzas Acheros, he says, if you live in a different community and you need the rain before the 60 days, so then, says the Ritva, you should start asking for Geshem. You should start for St. Talamater much earlier. The only reason the Gemara gives this arbitrary 60 days is because it's not arbitrary, because it has something to do with the seasons in Bavel at the time when the Gemara was written. But it has no bearing at all, he says, to our reality today when we live in other communities. So now, the Gemara goes on to a very interesting story where the Gemara says that Shalu Anshei Nineveh L'Rebbe. There was a community that lived in Nineveh. What do we know Nineveh for? The only thing that Nineveh is known for other than this is the story of Yonah. But here the Gemara says, no, there was actually a Jewish community that lived in Nineveh as well in the times of the Gemara. And they sent a Shaila to Rebbe. What was the Shaila? They wanted to know, I'm going to read it to you, Shalchule b'nei Nineveh l'Rebbe. The people who lived in Nineveh sent Rebbe the following question. We, da'afila b'tkufas tamas ba'inam nitra hechinavit. We have a very unusual condition in Nineveh. We're not the same as what you need in Eretz Yisrael. We need rain in Tammuz, which is the middle of the summer. So what should we do? Do you say that we are like Yechidim Damu? Or do you say that we're like a rabbin? Do you say that we're like a big community? Or do you say we're just like individuals? What does that mean? How is that a way to frame the question? We need rain in the month of Tammuz, in the summertime. And our question is, are we like Yechidim? Or are we like a rabbin? What's the difference? What's the difference? So the Gemara says the difference would be as follows. A yachid who has any need, an individual who has a need, inserts into the Shemona Esrei the appropriate need that they have. So if I need a parnasa, when I get to Baruch Aleinu, I'm going to make an insertion. Nobody else in the shul is saying anything there in Baruch Aleinu. They're just saying regular. I'm going to add my own paragraph because I'm a yachid who has a need. And I have a right to add it into the appropriate place. If it's Sibur has a need, so then we'll say the Saint Talamater at a certain time of year because the Tzibur has a need. So over here, when it comes to the Saint Talamater, his question was as follows. We live in Nineveh. Although the Gemara says we don't start saying the Saint Talamater until 60 days after the Tkufa, right? We live in Nineveh, and that doesn't correspond to our reality. And the question for us is, since we need rain in the summertime in Tammuz in order for the crops to grow, would we be considered like Yechidim, and therefore each of us would only say the same Talamater in Shema Koleinu? Or would we actually add the same Talamater into Baruch Aleinu in the middle of the summer? That's the question. And the Gemara answers, although we feel very sorry for you that you need rain during that time of year, during the summertime, you will add it in Shomea Tfila because you are only considered like Yechidim. Because you are only considered like Yechidim, and therefore you should add it in Shomea Tfila. And the Rambam, based on this Gemara, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tfila the following halacha. That if you have a community where they need rain at a certain time of year in order for the produce to grow, says the Rambam, that community has a right to ask for the rain, but they should only ask for the rain in Shomea Tfila. They should not ask for the rain in Baruch Aleinu. So I'm going to read you the words of the Rambam. He says, "Mekomon shein tzrichim legishamim bimos hachama kigon iye hayam harachokim." I don't know what he's referring to when he says iye hayam harachokim. The islands that are very far away. I don't know if he's talking about Japan or whatever the Rambam is referring to here. But he says, not in the climate that I'm in. I'm in Egypt, so we don't have this problem here. But he says there are places in the world where they do. Shalom esagishamim beeshein tzrichim lahem bishomea tfila. Says the Rambam, based on this Gemara by Anshei Nineveh, you're going to add it to Shomea Tfila. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch writes as well. Now, not all the Rishonim accepted this position. Not all the Rishonim agreed. The Rambam says, based on the Gemara, that any time you live in a community where they have a need at a different time of the year, where we generally don't say the same Talamater, so you'll say it in Shomea Tfila. That's not something that is muskam l'chal hadeus. It's not something that is agreed upon by all of the Rishonim. Let's see what the Rishonim actually say. The Tur. Who is the father of the Tur? When did the Tur live? Let's start with that. He was a Rishon, an Acharon.
Early Acharon.
All those who believe he was one of the Tanaim, raise your hands, okay? Please don't raise your hands. Thank you. I'm not even going to look. All those who believe he was one of the Acharonim, raise your hands. No. The Tur was the son of the Rush. The Rush was one of the Gedolei HaRishonim in Germany. So the Tur often quotes different passages from his father, Adoni Avi HaRush. He talks about his father with a tremendous amount of respect, as he should. And he refers to his father as Adoni Avi HaRush. So it's actually interesting. On my tefillin bag, on my talis bag, it says, Aaron Yeshaya ben Harav Tzvi. Shechter. So, Rav Asher Weiss once looked at my tefillin bag and he said, I've never in my life seen somebody who writes their father's name on their tefillin bag. Meaning most people, it just says their name. It doesn't say who their father is. But he said, you know, come to think of it, it's a very beautiful thing because you're being Mekayim Kibbut Avayim. You're saying, I'm proud to be the son of my father. So every time you use your tefillin bag, you're showing, this is something I'm proud of. I'm not just proud to be me, I'm proud to be the son of my father. Which is an interesting point. I don't even know whose idea it was to put it on my tefillin bag. I think my mother probably. I don't know. But it's interesting to note. So here, the Tur writes about his father with regard to this issue. And he tells us a little bit of a story. Let's read a number hey together. The Tur tells us, Vayihi bishnas chameshas halafim v'shivim v'shalosh lebriyas ha'olam. It sounds like I'm reading a ksuba. Right? So he says, it was in that year, whenever it was, Netzur ha'gashamim, there was a drought. V'lo himtir kal ha'choreif ela ma'at mize'ir. And there was very little rain. The whole winter season, there was very little rain. Vayikru tzom l'schan el ha'shem. If there's no rain, then you have a problem. What's going to be? There's going to be no produce. There'll be nothing to eat. So they all came together. They decided we're going to have a fast day. They were asking, beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu laseis matar al pnei ha'adama, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless them with rain al pnei ha'adama. Vayihi b'leil rishon shel Pesach acharei tfilas arvis, and it was on the first night of Pesach after Maariv. Torah tells a story now about his father, Adoni Avi HaRash HaYoyoshev al Pesach Beso. The Rush was sitting on his porch. Anachnu k'tas me'achaverim omdim alav mi'yiminu u'mismolo. He had a whole group of people who were sitting all around the Rush, my father. Vayomer, and he said, I'm thinking out loud, he says. Ato, hayatov la'or ha'davar ha'shamei olam tamati alav. Says the Rush, you know, we're just among friends. I have something I've been wondering about for a while. What is that? Lama lo yaskiru v'yishalu ha'geshem at shavuos. I don't understand, says the Rush, why we don't continue to say v'sein talamater until Shavuos. We live here. We need rain until Shavuos. Why do we stop Pesach time? Vayanu k'tzas me'achaverim, and a number of the people sitting there responded, Tovu shetodia hadarvel kenim vayasu kein. Said, you know what, why don't we go to the elder statesmen that live in our community and we'll ask them, why do we stop saying the same talamater on Pesach instead of Shavuos? Now, it's interesting that the Rush says, let's go ask the elder statesman. You are the elder statesman. You are the Rush. So who are you going to go ask? Okay. V'v'yashar be'ineyem. So he goes to the elder statesman. I don't know who he went to. I assume most of the questions in town probably came to him. But now when the Rush had a question, he bounced it off of others. And he asked, what do you think? V'yashar be'ineyem. And they all agreed to him that really, in our community, the way things are, we really need rain for longer than we otherwise would need if we would live somewhere else. And therefore they said, it would make sense to extend the same talamater till Shavuos. Vayishlechu lechazan haKnesses, they sent a message to the chazan haKnesses, means the gabai, lahazkir lemachar hageshem. Tomorrow, even though it's between Pesach and Shavuos now, we're going to continue to say the same talamater. Vayasuke, and that's what they did. Vayaskiru bnei haKnesses hagedola hayud gimel midos vayhikol kehizkiru. There were some who were very offended that they were not consulted before this was decided, and they started to scream and yell, "Vayotziu kol lemar," and they told everyone, "How can you mention Misein Talamater? We're not at that time of the year." They were all upset. A whole fight broke out in shul. Vayisapek Adoni Avi Harash v'lo diber b'yom ha'hu me'uma aleil cholo shamoi. And that whole day, my father, the Rush, was so nervous, maybe I did the wrong thing. And he didn't talk for a whole day. Cholamayit Pesach, he didn't talk. And then he decided, I better write a tshuva to defend my position, to explain to the other Talmidei Chachamim in the town who didn't agree with me, let me explain to them why I feel this way. Vizet Tarfa. So says the tour, here is what my father says. Okay. Al-Kisha Mati Ki Yesh Tameim Al-Devarai, says the Rush, I heard that there are people who are very uncomfortable with what I said, that we should continue to say the same Talmud. Basi Lefarish Mashi Amarti, therefore, I've come to explain that which I have stated. She'ein Roy Lifsok Mila Hazkir V'lishol Ata B'yam Tavrishan Shal Pesach V'lomen Kadu Ela Mikvar Yamim Ram Ma'ashkenaz Nisaramti Al Shnei Dvarim She'ra'isi She'nogim V'yamim Halal. He says, I have two things that bother me. Ha'echa, the first one is She'einam Sholim Gisham Kitikun. I don't understand why we don't ask for the rain at the appropriate time to ask for it. Ba'afa Gavdar Aminu Pirkam at the Tainis. And so he gets into this. He says, when it comes to something like this, which is about asking for rain, we don't assume that we have a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Shouldn't this be based on what we need? Shouldn't it be based on where we live? And says the Rosh, I just don't understand why we should be shayach to the calculation that is relevant to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, skip down a few lines. Roy lelech achar hashanim. And says the Rosh, therefore, I really don't understand why it is that this is what we do. And then he says, on the other side, I don't understand why it is that in the other direction we stop saying a Pesach. Why would we stop saying a Pesach if we still need the rain? So the time that we start doesn't really make sense. The time that we end doesn't really make sense. Does this sound familiar? So this is the Rosh's question. And the Rosh, as you can see, goes into a whole arichas, a whole discussion here, to explain his position that he feels the timing really doesn't correspond to the community where he lives, which is the same question almost 1,000 years later that was posed to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Right? How interesting is that? So the Rosh says, if it were up to me, I would say we should really have a totally different system based on the reality that we have today. Now, where is the Beis Yosef? Let's look in the next entry here. The Beis Yosef says in Echos Tfila, although the Rosh makes a lot of logical sense, and what he's saying is extremely reasonable, right? The Rosh says our Shemona Esrei should correspond to our reality. Says the Beis Yosef, it seems nobody accepted the Rosh's position. V'chol ha'olam lo nagu kein. Very unusual statement of the Beis Yosef where he says, V'chol ha'olam lo nagu kein. The Rosh makes a lot of sense, but nobody accepted him. It's not what we do. It means that we have rejected the opinion of the Rosh, and therefore, if you have somebody in the summertime who mistakenly says, what's the halacha? The halacha should have been that you're fine. Why? Because we're out of time in the year when we need rain. We're living here in America. But since we don't accept the opinion of the Rosh, therefore, if I mistakenly say the same Talamata Levracha during the summer, I have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Okay. And that's quoted Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch as well. So it's interesting. My father quotes in one of his Svarim that although this opinion of the Rosh has been rejected, right, like the Beis Yosef writes, and the Shulchan Aruch says, and therefore if somebody forgets Baruch Aleinu, if somebody forgets V'sein Talamatar in Baruch Aleinu, or says it at a time when they shouldn't, they have to repeat it, because we don't accept the Rosh's opinion. My father said that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik did feel that the Rosh's opinion was worth worrying about, and therefore he said that it would be appropriate for a person to say V'sein Talamatar Levracha all year long in Shema Koleinu. So, because here we are in America, which nobody does, right? Have you ever heard of anybody who does that? Right, correct, exactly. So nobody does that. But Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim used to do that because he said, I'm living in Brisk, wherever Rav Chaim lived, and here in our community, we need rain during the whole year or different seasons. So he said, therefore, it would make sense that during Baruch Aleinu, the same way if I need a shidduch, I say during Shema Koleinu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help me out. And if I need a parnasa, I say in a certain bracha and Shemona Esrei, a need that I have, so too, Reb Chaim said, I should say every day V'sein Talamater in Shomei Tfila, because that is something that is a personal need to me, and therefore it would make sense for me to insert that. Yes, question.
If it's lining up with Eretz Yisrael, then why don't we start saying V'ten Tal Eshmin Etzara even 2 weeks after? Why wait 60 days?
That's exactly what the Rosh is asking. That's exactly the same. Why do we wait? And why do we then end at the same time?
Yeah.
That's his question. So now let's take this to a very different angle. And the other angle that we need to think about is, what about when you change hemispheres? Right? So the seasons are going to be the opposite in the southern hemisphere than they are in the northern hemisphere. So as we know, if you're, let's say, in Australia, the warmest months of the year are not July and August, but rather January, February. What? Or December, January, whatever. That time of year is going to be warmer than the other times of the year because that's their summer. Everything's going to be a different... I used to say everything's backwards. Then I went to Australia and said, no, you guys are backwards. So, you know, it's just a matter of perspective. It's not backwards. It's just the other way around, that they have very different seasons than we have. And that's a fascinating and interesting point. What do we do about Vasein Talamata when you live in a community where the summer season is actually at the other end of the year? So when do you start and end the recitation of Vasein Talamata Levracha? This is a very interesting question that was originally raised in the 1600s by a great Talmud Chacham whose name was Reb Chaim Shabtai from Salonika. He wrote the Sefer Toras Chaim. He was known as the Maharchash, who is a Talmud of, listen to this, the Maharshach. So it's a little confusing. The Maharchash, that's with a Ches Shin, Mem Hei Resh Ches Shin, was a Talmud of the Maharshach with a Chaf in the end. So two different people, one was a Talmud, one was the Rebbe, and the Maharchash got the following question from the Jews in Brazil. And he writes that he wasn't sure exactly what to say, because in Brazil, they need rain between the months of Nisan and Tishrei, which he said, I never heard of before. We need rain in the other half of the year. They need rain during their summer, which is, I'm sorry, during their winter, correct? Right? They need rain during their winter, which is our summer. Their winter is Nisan to Tishrei, which is when we stop saying the Vasein Talamata. So the question that he had was, should they be saying the Vasein Talamata the other half of the year from those who live on the northern hemisphere who say it at one part of the year? Now he makes an argument, which I think is a very beautiful argument, and he says, I don't understand. The bottom line is, how can I daven for something? Shehura umazik avuro. How can I daven for something that is terribly painful for me? I actually had a very powerful experience in the summer. I was giving a shiur on tefillah or emunah, I don't remember what it was, in Camp Simcha.
Oh, I was there.
You were there?
Yeah, I remember the shiur.
And? It was okay?
Yeah.
You survived. Yeah. So, I was giving a shiur, and two girls came over to me afterward, two campers. They're both 16 or 17 years old, I don't remember. They said they met in camp two summers ago. Now they're both in remission, Baruch Hashem. And they had the following question, and it was very shocking to me. So they said they never shared this with their families, never shared it with anyone, but they became very close in Camp Simcha because of their experiences that they shared together. They had the same type of cancer and the same treatment, and now the same prognosis. They're both very healthy now. So they said that they developed a very deep bond, a very close relationship, and they shared something with each other which each one surprised the other one, that they had actually both been thinking the same thing, but were too embarrassed to say it. So they came to talk to me about it. So what was it? They said that they both daven every day that they should get sick again. So I said, why would you daven that you should get sick again? So they said, the connection that we felt with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we were sick is something that we have never felt since we got better, and we miss it. So we'll take being sick again in order to get back that feeling that we once had when we were sick. Now, what surprised them was that each one of them was davening for that, not knowing that there was another person in the world that would also daven for such a thing. And they came to talk to me about it. Is it appropriate to offer such a tefillah? Make no mistake, the answer is an absolutely unequivocal no. It's a horrible thing to daven for. You should daven instead that you should figure out how to have a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without being sick. That's what you should daven for, which is what we discussed. But I was thinking at the time when they were talking to me, I actually mentioned to them this tshuva of the Maharchash. It's lo yitachen, he says. It doesn't make sense that a person will offer a tefillah for something shehu ra umazik avuro. Does it make sense that you'll daven for something that is harmful to you? That's going to hurt you? It doesn't make sense. Now, in their case, they feel it's not harmful because the benefit outweighs the loss of being sick. Arguable. But here, the Maharchash says, I don't understand. You're going to say the same Talamata Levracha at a time of year, at a season of year, when it's actually going to hurt your produce? It can't be. It just doesn't make sense. And therefore, he gets into the discussion here, and he says that, in his opinion, he feels that maybe we should add the same Talamata Levracha into Shema Kolenu, into Shomea Tfila, because this part of the world needs rain at a different season, and they need to be validated, and their concerns are real. You go 150 years later, and you have the Rav of Yerushalayim was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank then got an email, I once read a quote from Abraham Lincoln. You know this quote? You don't know what I said. My wife hates when I do that. I say, you know this, when I didn't say what it is. So the quote from Abraham Lincoln is, I'm going to mess it up. So that's what I'm trying to think before I say it. Quote from Abraham Lincoln is, everything you see on the internet is true, so you should believe it. Okay, for anyone who didn't get it, you have to go back and learn history. Okay, bad joke. Anyway, so he got a shayla from New Zealand. It was not sent to him via email. It was a real shayla that he got, I guess a telegram, when there were Jews who then moved to New Zealand and wanted to know the very same question. 150 years after it was asked in the Sefer Teres Chaim, where they wanted to know, should we then switch to ask for rain on the opposite end of the year? And this is something that the Shevet HaLevi also discusses. Rav Vosner, who is actually in our generation, he got the question from South America, from Uruguay. And the question really is, how does it make sense to daven for something that we know is harmful to us? This is not a good thing for me to be asking for at this time of the year. Why would I offer that kind of tefillah? It doesn't make sense. So am I doing it only because of Eretz Yisrael? Am I doing it because they need the rain? Is that how this works? So this, I find, is a very, very fascinating and very riveting discussion, a very interesting one. It turns out that all these communities say it at the same time as we do, even though it doesn't really correspond to their reality, but that is what they do. But I think one point to take away before we end the shiur, one point to take away is the following. The Shulchan Aruch says that if a person said, Masha v'ruach amar d'geshem b'mos ha'chama, if in the summertime you ask for rain, or you mention the rain, so we make you go back and start Shmona Esrei over. Why is that? Explains the Mishnah Berurah. Because in the summertime, the rain is not good for the crops. So you just offered a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send rain, but it's harmful to have rain now. So therefore, Machzir Noso L'Rosh HaTefillah. So the Taz expands that a little bit more, and he says, since we know that Kishamim are Kashim Liolam during this season of the year, therefore he says, listen to his words, Vizeh Yispalal Al Geshem, this person is going to daven for the rain inadvertently, via Viyam, and he's going to bring the rain. That's an amazing statement of the Taz. Here you have somebody who made a mistake in the Shmona Esrei, which means he's not paying attention. So he's davening Shmona Esrei without Kavana. He's not really paying attention the way he should. He says the wrong insertion at the wrong time of the year. And we make him go back to repeat the Shmona Esrei. Why? Because, says the Taz, maybe his tefillah will be accepted. And if his tefillah is accepted, after all, he asks for rain, via viyam, and the rain is going to come. And I think it's an opportunity for us to think about the koach ha-tefillah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts a koach ha-tefillah that we all have. And we need to take it seriously. We need to realize, I feel uncomfortable when people make a joke, you know, sometimes right around Sukkot time, there's a thunderstorm and everyone says, oh, you know, you daven Geshem very well. And it's actually not a joke. It's actually real. We believe in the Korach HaTfilah. And we believe in the ability of a person to actually change whether rain is going to come to a community or perhaps not. And I think this is just an opportunity as we talk about the Saint Talamutter and all these kinds of interesting, you know, different scenarios that present themselves. But it's interesting just to think about the overall perspective that we have, and that is that we actually believe that when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rain, it's a reality that it's going to come. It's not something that's a far-fetched possibility. It's something we actually believe in. And it's an opportunity for us to think not only about that part of the Shemona Esrei, but about all of Tevilah. When we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things, we need to believe that it's a realistic possibility that it can actually happen. If you have the person who's not paying attention in the Shemona Esrei, made a mistake, and yet we're concerned that maybe his Tevilah is still going to be answered, then certainly when we have a heartfelt Tevilah, when we have something that we sincerely and genuinely present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then certainly we have to believe, we have to go in with the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shomea Tevilah, and in fact our Tevilah has a very good chance of being answered. So we're going to stop.